Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Change the world what it used to be. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Tell me now.
Wonder what you tell me now.
Stop,
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. I tell you, that's one of our all-time favorites, and that's why you hear it week after week, because when we really think about it, we can't accomplish things when we're sleeping. There's a time and a place for everything, and we just hope and pray that you get that appropriate rest, and then at the right time, you would do what you have been called to do, and that is to teach our children, teach our babies, because if we really are honest about it, they are the ones that are suffering each and every day. And so I just put a charge out to all of us that we do our part to make sure that we teach our children, that we teach our babies so that they will be equipped to be able to get to the point that they will be able to understand and know what it means to be in love and in holy matrimony with their perfect soulmate. So let's teach them right, and let's be the example for them. And tonight, as we speak about oneness is life's greatest challenge, we understand and know that it's not the easiest thing to do in life to be in holy matrimony. But if you desire for it to be, we know that you can accomplish it and you can experience oneness. And we just pray tonight that you recognize, know, and understand that there's nothing perfect, not even you, that there is going to be an opportunity for you to go and ask for forgiveness or for you to forgive your soulmate. And we just pray that you keep everything in perspective so that you can keep keeping on and understand what it means when we talk about oneness is life's greatest challenge. I just want to thank you once again for freeing up your schedule, being here with us tonight, allowing us an opportunity to minister to you in our special way. Just want to thank God in advance for my husband, Minister Jesse, as he comes forward, as God continues to anoint everything he puts his hands to, that he will deliver this message tonight with simplicity and understanding for all of us to be able to take away nuggets that we can build on and that we can continue to understand what our role is so that we can allow us to get through any challenge that may come our way. And so I just want to say thank you for all of those of you that are here, that you are part of this number, because there's nothing that we do without ushering in the Holy Spirit. So as we usher in the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to be present with us, I ask that you also lift up my husband, continue to pray for his health, knowing that he's battling a little bit right now, but we know God is still working through and in him. So as you pray, continue to lift him up for continued health, as well as so many in our family, our mother, Mama Storr, Mama Holloway, not 100% in their bodies. We just are thanking God for blessing the matriarch of our families. And I just want to thank God once again for what he's doing for all of those that we know may be ready to go in surgery. And I have two sisters that are about to go into surgery over the next day, one tomorrow and one next week. And we know that God is in the blessing business. And I pray that whatever you may be going through as a family or individually, that God will be there for you as well. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, we pray for these awesome, powerful, God-fearing men and women. We pray, Lord God, that you touch them like never before. We come asking in the mighty name of Jesus that you stop by and meet them all in their time of need. Give them an opportunity, Lord God, to be able to recognize, know, and understand the type of work that it takes, Lord God, in order for us to have the oneness that we know you strategically put together between us and our spouse. I pray tonight, Lord God, that you would give us the ability to recognize, Father, that we have the ability to be able to seek out your face in all that we do. When things just don't seem to be going right, Lord God, we all go through our emotional ups and downs. We all go through, Father God, just having long, tiring days, which sometimes cause us to be short with one another. Let us work on it, Lord God, to be better individuals, especially to our spouse. But if there ever comes a time, Lord God, that something is said or done that is not to the liking of the other, let the other one that is offended, Lord God, come back with a quickness and ask for forgiveness, Father. Let the one that was offended to be able to accept that forgiveness. I pray today, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you would be with all of our children, Father, all of those that are in need of a touch from you, Father. So many of our young adults, Father, are just going through, some of them going through mental challenges, some are just going through illnesses, others are just going through life changes. Whatever it may be, Lord God, would you meet them in their time of need? I pray for all of our babies, Lord God, all the way from infancy, all the way up, Father God, to college and beyond. I pray that you touch them one by one and encourage them and strengthen them and let them know in the spirit, Lord God, that they can do all things through you, Christ Jesus. I want to say thank you, Lord, for allowing us to recognize, know, and understand that we don't have to walk this walk alone. You said in your word that you would be with us at all times, that you would never leave us nor forsake us. You told us in your word to be strong and courageous. Give us that ability today, Lord God, because there's someone that's ready to give up. There's someone that's so weak, they're ready to just lay down on their face on the ground, Lord God. And when they do, Father, just carry them, Father, back to their bed and give them reassurance that you're with them and all is well. I pray for those that may not be, Father God, have a roof over their head today. I pray that you provide them shelter. Those that are without food, bring them food into the storefront, Lord God. I pray today that whatever it is that we may stand in need of, that you would meet us all in our time of need. I pray today, Lord God, that you help us all be the best individual on this side of heaven that we can possibly be, because it's because of you that we have our being. It's because of you that we will be the best spouse that we can possibly be. Every marriage that's under the sound of my voice, bless and anoint the union that you put together. Let no man, woman, or situation take them under, but let them be strong. Let them be courageous in you and allow them to work through anything that they must work through. Thank you for those that have come that are looking, Lord God, to be married to their perfect soulmate. Those that have come that may be engaged or someone that, Father, may not even be looking at the moment, but when that time is right, you will present before them, Lord God, a strong individual in form, Father God, of a woman. Because we know, Father, in your word, you said when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. So we thank you that the eyes are open and the heads are up for every woman that is still yet single and desires for you to bless them, Lord God. We know you can't bless us with our head hanging low. We got to walk with confidence. We got to look in the eyes of the individual through discernment that you would tell us that's going to be our perfect soulmate. I pray tonight, Lord God, that you would give us, Father, traveling grace and mercy for all of those that are traveling near and far. Give us an opportunity and ability, Lord God, to be able to love on one another. For we know you are love, Lord God. Let us love our brothers and our sisters, Father, as you have loved us. And I just want to say thank you once again for storing back into my husband, Lord God, a thousandfold of everything that he pours into us. Thank you as always, Father, for this day and every day that you give us to glorify your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen, amen, and amen to the glory of God.
Well, amen. Let the church say one more time, amen, and we give God all glory, honor, and praise, and I'll give thanks to my queen, my wife, my best friend, my co-laborer in ministry. And welcome to all of you once again, the Monday Night Omega Ministry Group, Blog Talk Radio. Your oneness is the focus of our attention. We live in a day and age where there are those who have given up on the concept of oneness. But guess what? It's not too late to save the institution. We must be willing to fight for oneness, and especially for the oneness we desire. And we must accept and understand the reality that success comes with a price we all have to pay. Love is not cheap, and its blessings will make your life more than rich. We believe that sincerely, even as we ourselves, we may have a moment where we miss the mark of the higher calling. But we thank God that we are able to respond and able to go ahead and handle the business at hand. The numbers tell the story. Marriage is the greatest challenge men and women will face in life as it relates to sustained relationship. It's the greatest challenge due to the level of demands that two separate individuals must face. Were you willing to give up your desires many times, your ambitions in life? And if you reflect on your life, you will see many examples how you achieve success only after your willingness to compromise certain positions in the marital relationship. If we take a moment to look at that word challenge, what does it mean in the first place? Some think of challenge as a contest or competition. But in this sense, we're thinking of challenge as something where you get objections to the truth, that you are challenged to believe and to expect what God ordained about the institution of marriage. He said it wasn't good for us to live alone, that man, we couldn't handle it being by ourselves. We needed somebody to complete us. And that somebody is a wife. And a wife, she can't do it on her own. She may have all kinds of skills and abilities. My wife has all kinds of skills and ability, but she can't do it by herself, not to achieve the fullness for which she was created, nor can a man. And so it becomes a great challenge when all around us the numbers seem to indicate it ain't working. But see, we must reject that. Why is it that you have to compromise something to achieve success with the person you love? Let's think about it for a moment. When you are working for someone else, especially, you have to compromise certain things, at least while you're on the job. You may not agree with everything that particular organization is asking you to do. Yet you may, for the moment, be forced to compromise. In the last 2 years, one of the most obvious compromises that many people made was the acceptance of vaccinations. And I'm just using it as an illustration. I'm not saying it was right or it was wrong. I'm merely using it as an illustration. But perhaps you really didn't want one, but to maintain your employment, especially after the current president made it mandatory in certain situations, you perhaps acquiesced. You agreed to do so because you knew your family had to eat and you were a breadwinner. Didn't matter if you was a man or a woman. But you had to compromise. See, sometimes we can see things a lot easier when they appear to be disconnected or at an abstract level. So you can say, while I'm opposed to this, you make a justification because you like to eat. You like to have a roof over your head and food on your table. And so the world, which we know is led by this small g god, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, this small g god, you may acquiesce and agree. And we're not going to hold that against anybody because, again, it's not a matter of what you do. I'm just using it as illustrative purposes. So you may compromise to achieve that level of success. And when we join organizations, we are oftentimes given a list of expectations consistent with the purpose of the organization. Now, when we're married, don't we agree? We call them vows, marital vows. Pledge yourself to your partner, to your spouse, to enable his success. We do the same thing when we go out oftentimes and work for others. You belong to a certain church. That church has certain tenets, certain things that they say they believe in. And they ask you when you become their a member that you accept and embrace those things that they say they believe in. And most of the times, without question, we embrace them. And we begin to reinforce them. And we begin to even share them. And so we may always seem to ask the question, why are we willing to adhere to the expectations of these institutions more than we are within the confines of our marriage? Why is that? That we find ourselves oftentimes willing to agree with the demands of those that we may work for, and we sometimes are unwilling to implement and embrace the vows that we take when we are married. I tell you why. It's the greatest challenge you will ever face in life. It's easy sometimes to divorce ourselves from an organization because we don't feel it at the personal level. We don't necessarily feel it at the spiritual level. Now, while we may compromise ourselves to maintain a job, to have resources for our families, when it comes to each other, we sometimes find it to be more difficult to compromise, but it shouldn't be. But we're willing to do that. Because we live in a world where we need money to survive. We need resources to survive. And sometimes we focus too much on the perceived shortcomings on our spouses or within our spouses. We do that more than looking at the value they bring to the table. And because of that, we sometimes find ourselves, as they say, going against a rock in a hard spot. We just can't seem to get our way out because we're unwilling to compromise like we do when we're on our 9-to-5 or 11-to-7 or 3-to-11 or whatever ship you may be on. But see, we believe that we've got to develop a more patience, and we got to develop a patience that's comparable to the patience we are admonished to show in the marketplace. We know if we were at the job and we did anything that seemed to be contrary to the policies that we are expected to respect and implement, we may be asked to leave. We may be asked to depart the premises. We may be terminated. We may be put on probation. There may be a lot of things that happen to get our attention to say, you must get in line. Sometimes I think it would be good if we had some kind of way to have an arbitrator, someone that could show us oftentimes when we have these illusionary differences Because many times they are not based on a high level of substantial evidence. It's just that we, for whatever reason, we expect more from each other than we expect from ourselves. You know what I say? We expect more. So you expect more from your spouse than you're willing to give. They expect more from you than they're willing to give. But it takes a bilateral, a mutual understanding, and that's what makes it a challenge. We come from different backgrounds, perhaps. We didn't go through the same experiences. And so now we may find it difficult. But we must not treat our spouses with any level of dishonor while we honor and submit to the directives of those in leadership positions above us. Now, women, I can tell you for a fact, one of the greatest challenges facing us today, especially those of us who say we are believers, is that oftentimes women are perceived as honoring and giving more respect to the pastor at the church than they may give to their husband. Now, I know that's not a surprise to any of you because you are a mature group. But oftentimes we fail to realize that's the way it comes across. And we're willing to give the pastor, who is a spiritual teacher and leader, more respect than we may give our own husband. And conversely, husbands, sometimes wives may think, feel, or believe that you give more respect or you give more weight to an activity that you may be involved in. You may belong to an organization. You know, it could be some type of club or fraternity or just a group of men, period. And that you seem always more excited to be with them than to be with her. What we got to understand is that we live in a world that is doing everything it can to keep us, to prevent us from experiencing the joy God promised. God said that the man that findeth a wife has uncovered a good thing. Now, why would God make such a statement? Found a good thing. Because, see, man is not fully developed, not fulfilled, none whatsoever without the experience of a wife. And I know that we got to get to the point to understand it's not about perfection. It's about the willingness to grow together. And see, there are actions that we as spouses can take and we can get involved in that will hinder the success of our marriages. And we got to do everything we can to make sure that does not happen. We have to have our guards up. We have to know and understand that based on the historical legacy of marriage in our people, it was not an institution that initially we were able to embrace and able to suggest even to our loved ones that they will be able to achieve greatness when they marry. We lived in a situation where there was a great dichotomy. People saying that they were believers. People saying that they believed in God and that they were Christians. Yet at the same time, holding our ancestors hostage to a system that would deny our ancestors the ability to be fathers and mothers in the way God ordained it from the beginning. So we have to develop a level of sensitivity in that regard. Now, there are many reasons why we see negative influences as we battle to stay focused on achieving a successful marriage. And see, after the consummation of marriage, the hindrance to achieving a successful marriage only increases. When we were dating, there were those that wanted to keep us from being successful in a relationship. And once we make that decision that we're going to become married, There are all kinds of situations that develop. That all of a sudden we find ourselves trying to hold on and make sure we can keep this relationship together. We're going to take a short pause and then come back and get into some of the reasons why it seems so difficult to keep this marriage alive. It'll be a short break. We'll be right back.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away. Wonder this time where she's gone. Wonder if she's gone to stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away. And I know, I know, I know, I know, I know. Sunshine when she's gone. Only darkness every day. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. This house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away. Anytime she goes away.
I played that song because my queen is away. And it ain't no sunshine when she's gone. She's on a work assignment out of town. And I tell you what, once you've achieved oneness, that's a challenge in and of itself when you're in separate places at the same time. But when you're on one accord, you can still maintain and have oneness. That's what it's all about. But what are those things, those negative influences we battle to stay focused on achieving a successful marriage? There's a hindrance. There are influences. The influences have the capacity to have an effect on the character, the development, or behavior of someone or something, or the effect itself. We talk a lot of times about the influence of television, of movies, of songs, of friends. And all of those could have an impact. They could control or sway a whole power over you. They can have you so inclined to believe what you're watching. What are some of those things? See, when we think about how everything rolls together, there are some significant things that can cause us some challenges influenced by all of those things I just mentioned. Now, we're adults, so let's be real with these. Let's be transparent. Sexual compatibility. We live in an age today where sex is all around us. We see it everywhere. And we actually see it, we believe, and I believe as a man, inappropriately executed and inappropriately played. I, for one, believe that our women have become so programmed. Women, don't get mad with me. I'm just telling you as a man, from a man's perspective, is that we seem to be bombarded with whoredom spirits, both those women who are single and sometimes those who are married. And this is for a lot of reasons. Because men, we sometimes, even early in our 30s or 40s or even 50s, we have not taken care of our bodies to the point to where we fail to be able to perform and provide the level of sexual satisfaction that women, our wives, deserve. That makes oneness, again, a great challenge. Because overlaid with that is this spirit of familiarity, these demons that want to visit and want your wife or your husband. Because women, as you go through changes in life as well, sometimes you can go from being a woman highly sexualized to a woman steeped in frigidity, where you become frigid and cold. Now, I'm sharing this based on almost 70 years of being on this planet and also the last probably 30 years of talking to men and women about this subject, reading about it. The men and women began to move into an age where now they're taking medications. They're taking certain things that impact their libido, their sexual desire. That makes it challenging in the marriage, in the relationship. Now, hopefully, both men and women will have the ability to withstand the fiery darts of the enemy and not fall prey to sexual illusions, thinking, feeling, and believing that that's all they need to be happy. That's far from the truth. But it is a reality that this level of sexual compatibility can destroy a marriage. That's why it's a challenge. As men and women go through the decades of marriage and the decades of life, for each to do everything it can to promote sexual compatibility. How about financial alignment? So often it's difficult to have oneness because we have the challenge of bringing together two people who may have different perspectives on financial alignment. I thank God that I have a wife, a queen, that is very frugal, that does not just go out and waste money. And I thank God for that. I thank God that we've been blessed during the course of our marriage to be able to have her not to go to work for a period of time, many years. But I also praise God that now she has an opportunity to go out and work. We only have accounts that are joint, that are together. I know for many of you that seems foreign, that two people that could make different levels of incomes or have different levels of income can have a financial alignment, or you have the confidence to know that one is not going to go out and just splurge and destroy the financial alignment that exists. So that creates a challenge for marriages. Now, some, they face no challenge. I make my money. She make her money. We both agreed to put so much towards the cost of living, and we make it work. And that can work. We're not suggesting that it cannot work. But when you think about fullness in the oneness perspective, all that she has is mine, and all that I have is hers. And sometimes when we speak this to other people, they look at us as though we're from another planet. But I can assure you that is indeed the truth. There is nothing hidden. There's no hidden agenda. Because if you can find a way to be financially aligned and know what your goals and objectives are, then neither spouse is going to go out and indiscriminately spend that joint income. And especially if one or the other is making more money, as they say, than the other. I know from discussions with many, they feel that's an impossibility. They feel that the way they look at money and the way their wives or the way their husbands look at money is so different that there's no way they would take a risk at putting that money together. So be it. How about child development? For those of us who are blessed to have children, it's another example of a challenge. You may have been raised in an intact family where there was a mother and a father there. You married someone, could be a man or a woman. They were not in that environment. They were in environments where there were surrogate mothers or surrogate fathers or hybrid families, blended families. And so they have a different perspective. You want to have this pure perspective that you married only someone that's got a mother and a father. You don't want to marry someone that had a single parent. And so because of that, now you've now married, and you may not have achieved every objective as it related to that particular criteria. So now you have a difference of opinion on how you raise your children. That's a challenge to oneness. One may believe in discipline by just communicating and having a conversation. One may believe in discipline by using the rod. They'll say, you'll spoil the child by not using the rod. And while there's an element, great element of truth in that, we also have to be careful that we don't use that to be abusive. I know growing up, there were times when parents used what really could be looked at as a weapon, beating children with extension cords or electrical cords and different things that would not only leave whips and all of that, but may tear through the skin and leave marks that will be on their bodies forever. Whatever method may have been used in that case may have created a child who later became a spouse to where they didn't believe in using a rod at all. Another person may have come out of a childhood where they never were punished per se, never chastised. But over the course of their life, they believe if they had been corrected with a rod, they may have seen life differently. Again, this is another challenge, the oneness, because some people actually end up divorcing because they can't agree on how they're going to deal with a child who's in a rebellious state, who's doing something against the dictates, the precepts, and the principles that the family is trying to develop. And then another great hindrance that we have to deal with is just vocational and making money expectations in general. Let's face it. We live in a capitalistic society. We live in a society where if you are not able or can't raise money or have the type of money that would afford you a certain type of lifestyle, there could indeed be some issues. There could be some challenges. But should that be the case, we all have to learn how to perhaps live on less than what we could. It's a great lesson to learn. Because sometimes we may find ourselves in situations where you overspend, you stretch yourself, but that's the nature of America. See, the nature of America itself is such a way to say you can do a certain thing. You can go out on a limb if you're going to stay married. But see, if you go out on a limb and you create debt, you create situations that by when you are together allow you to do things that you wouldn't otherwise be able to do. And now all of a sudden Satan comes along, old Slewfoot, and he causes something to take place then now all of a sudden you're not in agreement. You're not in financial alignment. And now all of a sudden you find yourself, I need to get out of this. And then you begin to work hard to get out of this. You then fall back and say, wow, I had a life when there was two of us. I had an income when there was two of us that was enviable. And I was able to do all of these things. But now I find myself unable to do the very same things that I could do before without question. See, that's what life does to us. We find ourselves over and over again into situations that are trying to convince us it's not worth being in oneness with someone else. And yes, when you then make that decision, I know people have said to me, I really didn't know just how beneficial it was, even when they were both just paying for their particular agreement in the home setting. And now all of a sudden one leaves and then one stays in that home environment. And that other part of that money is no longer there. They see the impact. Now, I'm not saying only for money should you stay married. But I am saying there are a lot of benefits to living together. It's less expensive than two living separately and coming together. I'm not saying the only reason you should marry is based on the financial accommodation. No. You still got to have some kind of love for your spouse. But it's without doubt, if you did a pro and con and did a financial assessment, two people living together are going to have a per-person expense less than one person living by themselves and spending comparable dollars for similar items and situations. It's just a fact. Now, why is it that we find it so difficult? I tell you why. Because it's easy. It's easy for us to identify what we think is a problem because the world is bombarding us constantly and consistently with something else. Instead of us just taking our time and saying, you know what? What I have and what I'm involved with is beautiful. And now I myself must work to become the best I can be in my sexual compatibility. Part of that may mean I've got to keep my body together. There's a scripture that to the men, love your wives as you love your own body. Do you love your body? And trust me, I know from the past previous years that sometimes when the body gets into pain, when it begins to be uncomfortable, it sometimes becomes difficult to say, I'm going to go out and work out and I'm going to go and do all of these things that I've been doing. But praise God and believing in God, we'll get back and reconnect to that reality because it helps us in all capacities. When we take care of these bodies, it does give us an understanding that we must love our wife as we love our own bodies. We know that Paul said an exercise profiteth little, but that little is a whole lot. When we can learn to be financially in alignment, however you do it, the way you're not playing games, you're still being transparent. I hear sometimes when couples say, I borrowed $40 or $100 from my husband. Why would you have to borrow some money from your husband? Why to borrow some money from my wife? Why would you have to borrow some money from your wife? I mean, even with my children, and maybe, you know, it's different. If I give them something to go do or buy or whatever, I'll be honest with you. I don't even expect to get the change back. I really don't. I don't know why. That's my mindset, but I really don't. I don't expect to get it back. I hope you can see and understand why, indeed, perhaps you should give the same consideration. Now, when we look at what can we do to fight, to come against life's challenges, what is it? What kind of plans can we put together to make something different transpire? See, what we need to do, we believe, we need to discuss where we are. There are options for each spouse and for each couple as a unit. If they're willing to compromise, just like at work, some of the original expectations in each other's mind on what we wanted in marriage. We need to discuss where we are, where we are equally yoked, and identify areas where we are not. See, sometimes in our effort to be transparent, we really are not. Even after 5 years of marriage, 10 years, 15, 20, or 30, just yesterday, we had a chance to sit in on a Zoom call on a couple that's been married 65 years. And I can tell you, that chatting with them and others that's been married over that, that they do discuss areas where they are equally yoked, and they continuously identify areas needing adjustment because it's a continual emergence of that of reality. Then we should re-identify and reconnect often on what attracted us in the first place. What was it? There's nothing more powerful than saying to your spouse, I remember when I first saw you. I remember how captivating you were. I remember how handsome or how beautiful or how lovely or how sweet or how kind or how generous or how giving, whatever it may be. And you reminisce on that. And that point of edification, I'm sure, will make your spouse feel very, very accepted. See, humble yourself. Humble yourself and trust God. We're going to all miss the mark. We're going to all have a bad moment, a bad hour, bad day, week, month, hopefully not too often, because we're going through life challenges. You know, Tammy mentioned earlier about some of the things that I'm going through, and I appreciate all your prayers. But I know I can't dwell on it. I got to believe that God is going to deliver, that he's going to set me free from this attack that's on my body. And we have to believe that in our marriages, that God is going to set us free from any demon that's attempting to bring us hurt, harm, or danger. So when you sit down and you have these conversations, you find a way to get to that point of agreement. And then last point, really, on what we can do, edify each other continuously. Even as we age, there is something about us that still presents a very attractive element to our spouse. There is nothing that should ever keep us from seeing our spouse in that attractive light. If we can imagine, we can, in our own minds, that's why it's so important to have pictures, like the pictures we looked at yesterday on that couple that was 65 years in marriage. I mean, you would have had to know them, because as they have matured over time, those pictures didn't look like them. A beautiful young couple. And it was a pleasure to be able to experience that 65 anniversary, wedding anniversary. Oneness may be life's greatest challenge, but it's also life's greatest reward. And so I don't know if my queen is in a position to close us out tonight and make a few closing comments, but if you are queen, just hit one so I know you are. And you can then make any just shortcoming comments and then pray us out for this evening. I know you're out, maybe eating or whatever, but I see you are available. So I'm going to ask you to come on. Just open up your mic. Your mic is open. Make any comments to close us out.
Amen, Jesse. To God be the glory. You were speaking in such powerful terms tonight and giving all of us nuggets that we need to just help us along the way. And if we only take the time to recognize, know, and understand that the things that you are imparting in us and trying to help us understand the importance of what it means to encounter those sexual abilities, to be able to recognize and know and understand that throughout our lifespan that we go through different changes in our life. We understand and know that in Ecclesiastes it tells us there's a time for everything. And so we got to ask ourselves, what's the most important thing? And so I'm grateful to understand that even with a financial alignment, so many, as you indicated, are just not there yet. And it's not too late. That's one of the things that we all got to understand. It's never too late, long as you still have breath in your body. And so I just charge all of our listening audience to do their part, to do what they can, to come together on all of these examples that you've given us that allows us to be able to have influence in our relationships and our marriages. And I just pray that God continue to order our steps and give us an opportunity to do what we know he has called us to do, and that is to be a soulmate, and to be in oneness. And that therefore means that we are in agreement what goes on in our marriages, that we come together, we speak about it, we talk about it, and we compromise. And that word sometimes is not used enough. And so, most gracious and most heavenly Father, I thank you for every individual under the sound of our voice. I thank you tonight for all the teachings of Minister Jesse. I pray that you pour back into him a thousandfold. I pray that you touch his body. You touch him from the top of his head to the sole of his feet and give him the ability to fight through the infirmity that is trying to attack him right now. But we know it has no power. We ask, Lord God, that you send your army out, that you send them out to fight these battles for him. And I want to say thank you in advance for all that you're going to do. I pray for Minister Leah Killings that she comes on and as she prepares to share through transparency a word in season that you placed in her spirit. Bless her and bless her listening audience and give them the ability to continue to grow and learn and be all they can be. So continue to be with us, Lord God. Thank you once again for allowing those that made their way to the Blog Talk Radio Show. Thank you for allowing them to be available. Those that missed it tonight, we know, Lord God, so many will go back to the archives and be able to pull it back up and hear what they've missed. So we just want to say thank you for all that you've done, continue to do in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Agape love.